You're listening to Esprit Radio.
Welcome to our Point Counterpoint program called Black on Black Crime. On this program, we're going to talk about the 20th anniversary of Malcolm X the movie. But first, I need to tell you what this program is not about. And it's not about this. Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider about anyone else. We're going to talk about turncoat, that's what I'm going to call him, turncoat for Cornel West versus black people, because he gets his overall title every time he hates on somebody. So Cornel West, and we also will talk about Mayor Cory Booker's thing with food stamps. We're going to talk about that. And Melissa Harris Perry also said something about presidential pardons that we'll talk about a little later. All right. So on that note, welcome again, and thanks for joining us. Our call-in number today is area code 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. You know, we have to kind of take our time on this one just because I did not open the chat room. I know. I was a little slow today on that, but the chat room will be open in a minute, so if you have some questions or comments that you want to leave in the chat, hey, feel free to put them there. And we also check us out on Esprit Radio at solasyracuse.com. If you want to check out the program, check us down on downloads on iTunes. Check us out there. Feel free. Glad to have you, and I want to welcome you back. I know we missed last week, you know, the holiday and all. So we started off a little slow with the program today. You know, we're going to have our commissioner joining us in a second. Kathleen is going to be joining us with columnist Kai. We'll be here a little bit later. But first, I wanted to start off the program just to kind of talk about, you know, we missed the anniversary of, you know, the 25th anniversary of BAD? I think it was the 25th. The 25th anniversary of BAD. So if you saw the 25th anniversary of BAD that was directed by Spike Lee, it's about Michael Jackson's documentary for the 25th anniversary of the BAD album, which talks about his landmark album from 1987. The film had a brief run in theaters after making a big splash in the film circuit, and then it was released with this big deluxe edition of the BAD album, which was recently released in stores, you know, just like they say, just in time for the holidays. So, you know, I watched it, and I'm going to tell you I watched part of it, but it was on at a bad time, so don't believe that stuff about the ratings and all of that stuff. The ratings probably weren't as good as they'd like them to be, but it was holiday time. It was basketball and all of this other football, all these things on. So they put it on at a bad time and then want to blame it for the ratings. Forget it. It was good. And for those who didn't see it, you know, I found it was pretty interesting, even in the behind-the-scenes stuff where Michael Jackson talks about the fact that, or where they're saying Michael Jackson gave his homage to Mavis Staples by, if you remember the song I'll Take You There, which he says, Shomon, you know, and so he says that in one of the songs in BAD. Well, he says that in Man in the Mirror and a couple of other songs. But, you know, that's his homage to the Staples singer great, Mavis Staples. And so, you know, when I look at stuff like that, you get another appreciation for folks, you know, behind the scenes. So Michael Jackson's BAD was out. If you get a chance to see it, see it. You have to see how somebody's work ethic is in the studio when they go in to put down music and, you know, and they come out the box smoking. You wonder, hey, they're just going in there, laying tracks and getting out. But he was on every aspect of making that album. So just wanted to say that for the folks who we know are checking out the music end of life. All right. And another thing I wanted to talk about before we get started was the fact that if you are in this holiday buying season, you know, I have a new rule for Christmas shopping. That is, if you still have turkey in your refrigerator, you cannot go Christmas shopping. That is just out of the question. Don't do it. So I just wanted to leave you with that note. I want to remind you that you are listening to Black on Black Crime on Ask Kathleen Network on ACN on Esprit Radio. You can check us out. We're here every Monday, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on both networks. And you can call in. You can join us, area code 909-265-9189. That's area code 909-265-9189. Now, we're going to take a quick break. We usually take our public service announcements before we start the show so that, you know, we kind of start off with a clean slate. So we're going to start off with a quick public service announcement, and we'll be back after this message, all right? And so just remember, you can join in, and feel free to make comments in the chat. We'll see you on the other side of this break.
This moment of uncontrollable laughter was made possible by a 32-year-old man with little to no coordination attempting to execute a simple cartwheel. His name is Sergeant Warner, but young James, our laughing friend here, simply calls him Dad. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Have you ever wondered how you could make a difference in someone's life? What if you could help hundreds or even thousands of children? Students in the U.S. rank 32nd in world math skills. It's time for our children to catch up. Become an owner of one of the world's fastest-growing franchises, Mathnasium. Mathnasium is the leading math-only learning center in the U.S. Imagine helping hundreds, even thousands of students in your community improve in school and raise their self-esteem. Call us at 800-433-7620. 800-433-7620.
I started going cold turkey. Well, at least when I'm in the car.
I know I shouldn't do it, but it's so hard to stop. That's why I hide it from myself, so I won't be tempted.
I used to do it all the time. I stopped by locking it in my glove compartment.
My friend used to do it way too much. Now I turn it off when we're in the car.
My solution is simple. I just don't do it.
There are lots of ways to stop yourself and others from texting and driving. How will you stop? Tell us at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
There's no one that will take his place.
This energy does not go away.
It technically sounds better than any record ever made.
A lot of people, they're used to seeing the outcome. It's so much work.
Michael would say it starts in this very room, and it spreads over the entire world.
Whenever he made that connection with people, the molecules changed.
He begged me, please don't do another take.
Just run through the lines.
I still don't know how he did that thing.
You want to know how it was done?
Who's bad?
Welcome back to Black on Black Friday. And here with Jerome. I think we have Kai on the line. How are you, Kai?
I'm fine. How are you? Battling the cold,
you know,
but...
Oh, no. You know what? But that's always a good sound for you, so I'm not going to say nothing.
I'm not in my favorite voice. Hi, Slokey.
You know how we always feel about that. So, yeah. You know, that's a good sound. I'm not going to even go off on it. We have the commissioner, Kathleen, on as well. How are you, Kathleen?
Hey, everybody. I'm great, thank you. How are you all?
Good, good.
Okay, Kai, she didn't hear you with your voice issue.
Oh.
She came in cheery, didn't she?
Yeah.
She was like, I'm great. How are you?
I'm battling a cold, so I have my I don't have my singing voice on today, Kathleen.
But you sound like you're singing anyway.
I know. You know what? She has such a great voice. I've been telling her that for years.
Uh-huh.
I'm not.
I call this my Demi Moore Sade voice.
And that's why the guys like it. So I just want to tell you. And I was lucky Low Key's not here. I gotta get Low Key on.
Because
I'm sure it would go a whole lot farther than I'm willing to take it right now. So since we're doing black on black crime, there will be no crime on Kai today.
And since I don't know anything about that, right.
Oh, look at that. Look at that. Look at that.
I'm trying to copy you when we're talking about Idris Elba.
Oh, yeah. I know where you're going. But since I'm mentioning Denzel today, I won't really talk about that. Because my first topic, now this is not a black on black crime, but I did want to talk about the 20th anniversary of the movie Malcolm X. I don't know if you guys saw it, so let me paraphrase. It was 20 years ago. Spike Lee made movie history with his epic biopic, Malcolm X. Denzel Washington was the star of that movie. Okay, anyway. And so since he was a...
Wow, I can't believe it's been 20 years.
Oh, what a... I know.
I cannot believe that.
Well, now where it began, now legendary author James Baldwin wrote a draft after, you know, Malcolm X was assassinated in 65, and he wrote a screenplay in 68, but, you know, due to the political climate, that wasn't going to happen. So the movie never was made. Eventually, Norman Jewerson, I want to say it wrong, directed A Soldier Story. He was selected to direct the movie originally, and then although he was highly respected as a socially conscious filmmaker, there was widespread concern about the white director telling that story. So after that happened, Spike Lee came in, and the other guy was removed from he voluntarily stepped aside from it. And, you know, Spike Lee came in and rewrote the script. Denzel Washington was also questioned, by the way, when he came in, although Washington had portrayed Malcolm in an off-Broadway production that was critically acclaimed at the time, but they kept objecting to the fact that he didn't really resemble him. Remember this in this Zoe Saldana thing? Yeah, it was because Malcolm was like 6'4", had kind of reddish hair, you know, and they were like, Denzel 6'1", six two.
Oh, please.
I know. I'm just telling you what the history says happened, because I remember that, what they were saying. Mm-hmm. Denzel's not going to really do him any justice. And I remember some people kind of boycotting it, saying they didn't believe that Spike was doing a good job. So after Warner Brothers, the studio who financed the movie, was only willing to commit $30 million, Spike Lee, knew it wasn't enough money, and he wanted it to be an epic film. So he sought out, you know, Bill Cosby, Janet Jackson,
right.
Oprah, Prince, Magic Johnson. He called Magic Johnson, and he wrote a check, and then he called Michael Jordan and told him how much Magic gave him. Michael gave him money. Make it a competition, why don't you? Michael and Magic gave, and made the film Solvent, and it was released in November 18th, 1992. And it made over $48 million domestically and was a hit. And now is inducted into the National Film Registry of the Library of Congress for being a culturally, historically, and aesthetically sufficient, whatever that means. And Malcolm's daughter, Aisha Shabazz, put it best when she said, there's something there with which we can all identify, and I think that really the beauty of my father's life is in that film, is in Spike's film. So she even said it was a good film. So
yeah, it just goes, so, you know, when you believe in yourself and you believe in something, you gotta stick to it. And just think if you had listened to them.
Right, and so it reminds me of naysayers, right? It's what naysayers normally do, is every time you want to do something, they come out and tell you why you can't do it.
Yeah, absolutely
so,
right.
Kathleen, you were saying about the movie. You couldn't believe it was this long.
No, I can't believe it was this long. And it's so interesting that 20 years later, Denzel is being protested again in a new movie, Flight, about not fitting the role or whatever, you know, kinds of issues that they're protesting about now.
Uh-huh.
But the point that I wanted to make, though, is that, you know, it gives me pause when you recite all of the credits and accolades that this movie has received 20 years later, albeit I still think it deserved more, but I'm very happy to hear that it was invested into so-and-so. But it gives me pause that the Academy does not have pause with regard to how this movie was overlooked when it came out. So maybe it was before its time, and I'm going to go on, just put it out there, that maybe the Academy should have a category for the We Missed It movie.
Right.
So maybe that's a show that we ought to do every year around the Academy Awards. Movies at the Academy I Missed It Awards. The I Missed It Awards.
Yeah. Because there would be a large group with that in it.
Oh, my gosh. Do you know how many movies?
Well, yeah.
Well, you know the interesting story about that is when, I guess, Spike Lee called Denzel to tell him he was nominated for an Academy Award. He called him about 3 in the morning, and Denzel hung up and went back to bed. He said, they'll never give me an award for that. Like you said, he turned around, went back to sleep, didn't faze him. And interesting enough, they think that Training Day was a makeup for the great performance that he had in Malcolm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his Academy Award. Mm-hmm. So I can't say that I can give them credit for saying that at least he got one, but still, he had one in Glory. So they didn't want to lose him like that.
One for all of his movies. He's such a great actor.
And, I'm sorry, is this where we go to break?
He really is a great actor.
Okay, you know what? I can't hate on Denzel. Denzel's a great actor.
Mm-hmm.
There's no hate on that brother. I just want to say that for the record. But as you know, every chance I get to bring up Pam Grier, y'all in trouble. I just want to tell you, she was snubbed. And I won't stop until she gets an Academy Award. You think my crusade to get Chic into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is rough? It is my Pam Grier needs to be thanked by the Academy. I just want to tell you that.
If you guys had it your way, every male would have her already inducted. Although she was bad. I'm not hating. She was bad.
Don't hate. No, hey, because I do have the old pictures where your fro was kind of like, never mind. Anywho, I'm sorry, I don't mean to, this is not hating on Kai Day. She has a cold, so. You know what, see, since we can't see the old pictures of Kathleen, I'm sure she had hers on too, so don't go there.
I never could get that fro quite right, but.
Good, but that is almost like hating on the Jacksons for their fro, or you know, Earth, Wind, and Fire. You can't really; those were just froze, or the Silver. Mm-hmm. Like, you just don't really want to mess with those. You can try, but if you're not on stage, and they had stylists, I would think. Well, maybe not back then. That's a new phenomenon to have so many stylists. You know, walking,
have them travel with you.
Uh-huh. But so I wanted to say that, and you know, last week we had the Russell Simmons versus Denzel, the haters for Denzel in the movie Flight, which Kathleen brought up, bringing up hate on the program again. And we had last week the T-Boz versus American Idol. So if you want to go back and check out our downloads, check out the archives, you can hear us talk about those two. And remember, for everyone on the line, thank you for joining us. And you can hit 1 on your line if you want to join the program. You're listening to Black on Black Crime, area code 909-265-9189. If you're listening online and you want to call in and make a comment. Now, I want to say about that movie, I remember the controversy about people getting the wrong tickets at multiplex theaters. It was interesting the stuff that was going on, just to keep those numbers down for the people who were watching it. And I don't know if you remember any of that stuff, Kai, but...
I kind of do. I'm sorry. I'm outside. It's of course, when I come out, someone wants to work right behind me. It's 67 degrees here in Atlanta. Hold on a moment. Let me go back in. But I do remember... I do remember where, you know, we were being told to watch our ticket to make sure we have the correct ticket and so forth. You know, that's unfortunate, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting that it only happens with certain type of movies. Mm-hmm. Well, we're just going to say it because it's black-on-black crime. It happens on black movies primarily.
Right, right.
Now, Kathleen, was that going on in your area as well? I think that was nationwide, actually. I think Kathleen has this on you.
Yeah, I think it was, too. I think it was.
Kathleen? Huh?
I think it was too. Mm-hmm. But that's unfortunate, you know, to stoop to those levels. But, you know.
I know. You know.
It worked out anyway.
Exactly. It worked out. So if you haven't seen it, it's an epic movie, and it's kind of one of those things where we lose history in not seeing those movies played. And, you know, I don't think they're played around Thanksgiving. You know how they play all of the, what is it called? Where the guy misses Christmas or something. What do you call those movies? Whatever they call classics when they say, this is a holiday. Yeah.
Oh, I know.
I can't think of what it's called.
My memory is awful.
That is, no, it ain't awful. We're black.
we didn't watch that.
You know what? And for you non-racist people, that is just an inside joke. Just let it go. Just let it go. That's funny to us. Don't get mad. I remember three Elvis songs, and they were all written by black people, but that doesn't say that that's racist. Just a good song.
That's the truth. The truth is the truth.
I know. Hey, I'm just saying. Let's ask Kathleen, take us off mute and tell us if that's a black-on-black crime. We're not crossing the line. She didn't throw any flags. So.
No, I want to truly apologize, but I wasn't on mute. I actually had to take a call from a client. So my dad, was that a black-on-black crime?
Yeah, don't say nothing. Don't say nothing. Because if they're quiet, there may be a crime involved, so you can't claim attorney privilege there. You don't say nothing.
Oh,
keep
my
moving.
Bad. My bad about that. So tell me what it was.
No. Well, we're just talking about, you know, in your area, was there a lot of problems with people getting bad tickets for the Balcom movie, just generally?
Yes.
Because you know how you go to the theater, they give you another
ticket
for another movie. And they give you a
different ticket. Yes, they did.
And they said, go on in.
A lot of that. Yes. And you had a ticket for, like, you know, Disney or something.
Right.
And you really went to go see, you went to go see, Malcolm X.
You're like, why did Air Bud beat Malcolm in the ratings?
Yeah.
Like, how did that become
and
number one?
And you know, it's so crazy because Tyler Perry, one of his more recent movies, he was still sending out notices because I guess people were experiencing the same thing in 2012, but he was telling people, be sure and check your tickets for that exact same reason, that they were giving out tickets to a different movie.
Right. And you know why it doesn't usually happen for me? Because I go to the same movie theaters all the time, and they're usually movie theaters. You know, they are those large movie theaters, but a lot of times the theaters I go to, like the Magic Johnson Theater or something like that, but I'm going to be paying more close attention when I go to theaters that, you know, may have a problem like that. But and I don't know if it's the larger theaters where it happens or if it's the smaller ones. I'm not really sure. It's like, what kind of a scam would that have to be?
I know.
For
and
people to be told, because you would have to tell your employees, this is what you're going to do.
Right.
So what kind of a, go ahead, Jerome. Cause,
I was going to stop you, right?
Yep.
you felt that coming, didn't you?
Yep.
Black on black crime. See, here's the thing.
Yep.
We don't have to prove as an attorney, she's going through the details of how far the conspiracy has to go. I don't. See, here's how this works. In big multiplex theaters, they don't care what tickets they give you. So they'll give you a ticket, and then let you go into multiplex. So I know you're saying this, but just remember this. It's like saying, how much voter fraud can we actually have? It's hard to get people to vote anyway. So to get them to commit fraud when they don't want to go vote is a really tough thing to call. But in the movie industry, there's been proven that there's been full theaters of black movies, and then they didn't make any money. I mean, that has been documented. You can't really fight the motivation of the theater owner to do that.
And how sad is that even has to be the case, you know? I mean, really? Jesus.
Yeah, it's crazy to do it on purpose, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's not unheard of. I think they don't care.
Yeah.
And some people do it just to be nasty.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Because when you said full theaters of black movies, you mean like all the movies at the theater are black?
No. Like if you have a multiplex and, you know, you have two black movies and 18 other ones playing, you just give them the ticket and say, hey, just go in and get your ticket to that guy and you can go in with whatever multiplex. So they don't really care what tickets they give you sometimes.
Right.
And, yeah. And so that was a problem at the New Destiny USA that, you know, you have this huge multiplex of theaters and they were just giving tickets, but they weren't giving them to to Malcolm at the time. It was Carousel Center at the time, but they still wouldn't not give. People were complaining, why are we getting the wrong ticket? Because, you know, generally how we are as minorities, generally, we like to know that our ticket went wherever, right?
Right.
They're kind of collector's items that you, you know, you do as a kid and collect all these tickets to all these movies you've seen. So when you look at your ticket and notice that it's someplace else, I know one person in particular went and took his ticket back, and they said, well, you don't need to take it back. He said, I want my ticket to say Malcolm. And yet the person had to call the manager over to actually re-ring the ticket and to give credit to that movie.
Wow.
Yeah. And like I said, that happened. So anyway, since that's not a black-on-black crime, I just wanted to acknowledge Malcolm X, the movie, 20th anniversary. For the movie and all of their accolades, I think it has not gotten enough attention, and everyone likes to ignore that, like they do the Million Man March, like it never happened. Malcolm happened, Million Man March happened.
Right.
You know,
that
so
was
we want
excellent movie. Oh my God.
Yes. Yeah. Even for at the time, it was definitely like epic. You know, you're talking about the complaints that, you know, black people aren't going to sit at the movies for 3 hours. I remember we were talking about that.
Yeah.
That was white folks' argument on TV as to why films don't like to.
You know, like we just, a generation of attention deficit disorders, you know. Like we need Ritalin or something to keep still and watch a movie. Jeez. How insulting.
Hey, wait. You know what's worse than that is like I am very proud of this past election for that reason, because black people voted in record numbers and there was no parties. You know, there was nothing to say go out and vote.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, having all of those people out there was like, oh, man, you know, you don't know when people are going to vote or when they're not now. You don't have to say, please get out and vote.
Right.
So,
and just the fact that we were so underestimated, just my whole minority group as a whole, they underestimated us, just like they did with the movie. And last time I checked, Flight was at $48 million, I think they made.
Yeah.
So it's got, and that was like a week or two ago, so it's got to be more than that now.
Right. You know what, and I have to go see that movie, Flight.
Yeah.
You know, I like Denzel as well. So
yeah.
There's no hate on Denzel. Kathleen, just wanted to share that.
Okay, I'm just saying, he's got the best walk in Hollywood. The best walk in Hollywood.
All right.
I'm just saying.
I know
every movie
saying.
He does a walk. Every movie.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. I actually wait for it. Denzel.
Okay.
See, Leslie's sitting over here, and when she heard me say the best walk in Hollywood, she's like, Denzel? That makes me Denzel.
Okay, I'm sorry. Don't corrupt Leslie. You know what? We're going to take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk about... Oh, Kathleen, you know we're not done celebrating the president, right?
No. Hey, Claudio.
Okay, wait. Okay, wait a minute. I'm going to have to stop this music, because here's how this is going to go. I have a special break. I was going to save it till later. No, I'm going to save it till later. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. And I am going to play an LTD song for those people who are hating, because I know Mitt Romney may need to hear this. So if you have, should I do the break now, Kathleen?
Well, Leslie just wanted to chime in and say how good Denzel Washington's walk is. So fabulous.
Okay. tell Leslie.
She can hear you.
Hey, Leslie, how are you?
I'm good. I just lost my mic, so I'm like, right, you got to talk about Denzel. And then after that, you go,
okay, apparently Kathleen didn't talk to you because I'm about to put both of y'all on mute. I'm just going to tell you. I'm no Denzel hater. I'm just saying, you know, it just ain't necessary. And, you know, speaking of haters, you know, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about some crazy person who don't like black people. That's going to be Cornel West again. And we're going to talk about Cory Booker. I know Kathleen brought this up about Cory Booker.
Oh, my gosh, I was so mad. If you could see my post yesterday, it was just crazy. Oh. Anyway, okay. I was so mad.
looking forward to that one.
All right, well, let's take a break since y'all ran up my bump music. And we're going to go back. And we're going to be right back in just a minute. You're listening to Black on Black Crime. Remember, you can join in area code 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. Was that right? I had to be close. All right. We'll be back in just a minute.
Oh, those boys are much too much.
We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We're going to beat them and bust them.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call or visit fatherhood.gov to learn more.
Where does a great night out get even better? At the new Ruby Tuesday, with our freshly made lobster tail and steakhouse sirloin for only $14.99. Enjoy the tempting combination of sweet lobster paired with a perfectly seasoned sirloin, cooked just the way you like it, and served with a free garden bar, all for only $14.99. But join us soon. A pairing this perfect won't last forever. The new Ruby Tuesday.
Winning 2 Olympic gold medals for Team USA still doesn't feel real to me. Achieving my dream feels like a dream. I hope I can inspire people to take AT&T's pledge to never text and drive. My reason to pledge is for both of my families, my host family and my family at home. Find your reason and take the pledge to never text and drive. No text is worth the risk. It can wait. Take the pledge now at itcanwait.com.
Listen to text message.
You still coming?
Call Sharon.
Hey, where are you?
Is that Charlie? Tell her to stay away.
You need directions?
No, I'm good.
That's your plan.
Oh, I do.
Luxury well chosen. The 2012 Lincoln MKX.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. You can join us, area code 909-265-9189. I want to welcome everyone who's on the line. Just remember you can hit 1 on your phone if you want to join the program. For those of you in the chat room, hey, you can leave a message and we'll get back to you after the beep. I don't know. Just thought I'd share that. All right. So here's the thing. I know. You know what? It was after that Denzel thing. I had to woo-sah all of that out. All right. So, here's the thing. We have turncoat Cornell West versus black people. And I named it that for a reason. It seems like every week Cornell West has to talk about another black person, and it's kind of getting on my nerves. So he's about to make the Hall of Fame on Black Crime. We'll name it Black Public Enemy Number One. He just doesn't like black people.
Yeah, what's his deal? Good grief.
I know. You know, I feel like running that little Kanye West clip that says, and just putting Cornell West, doesn't like black people instead of George Bush. Anyway, okay. So, in a recent interview on Democracy Now, ex-Princeton professor Dr. Cornell West lashed out against the president, as well as, you know, Eric Michael Dyson and Melissa Harris Perry and Reverend Sharpton. West said that the president was a Rockefeller Republican in blackface, and said Dyson, Harris Perry, and Sharpton were for sale. Now, he has questioned Obama's racial authenticity on numerous occasions, of course. And in February, West called Melissa Harris Perry a liar, said that she's become a momentary darling of liberals, but I pray for her because she's in over her head. She's fake and a fraud. I was so surprised how treacherous the sister was. He called her sister, too. You ought to heard him for that.
Oh, wow.
Cornell West also said Cornell has the right to disagree with the president. This is what Sharpton said. Cornell has the right to disagree with the president, but why does he go out and disparage everyone who disagrees with him, is what Reverend Sharpton said at the time. So at least he kept a little classy, which I'm not going to. So, all right. Kai, I'll let you go first on the crazy guy.
First of all, why is everyone else wrong and he's right? I mean, I'm very disappointed in him. I held him to a much higher standard. It sounds like some serious black-on-black crime, and quite frankly, some hate, some serious. I think he's just mad. He's jealous. He's mad. He's bitter. And he sounds as silly as Donald Trump.
I never made that comparison, but you're right about that. He is Donald Trump.
On the same medication, both of them with that crazy hair and that crazy attitude. I'm just so disappointed in him. I mean, fine if you don't agree with who the president is, but there are ways to disagree without being just mean-spirited and nasty about it. Oh, my God.
I know. If anybody knows, call in and let us know what his medication is. We need to check for side effects.
He's got Donald Trumpitis.
That's what it is. We're going to call him Trump.
Romnesia and Trumpitis.
Well, Romnesia says that you actually knew something before you forgot it. That's Romnesia. I don't know what he has. That Trump, what is it, Trump hate? Or it has to be. Yeah, because he's kind of racist, too, so we have to get all of that in Donald Trump's thing. And what Cornell is doing is he's just hating on black people. I didn't see him go out talk about George Stephanopoulos and all of those fools when they say something little, or Chuck Todd or somebody. He ain't saying nothing about them on MSNBC or Joe Scarborough. He crazy, too. So
he's seeming like the person he's accusing everyone else of being, to be honest with you.
You know what? He might be Republican. You know you're Republican if you start blaming people for stuff you did.
Right.
All right, Kathleen. I know Kathleen has something to say about that.
Well, I'm always the first one to commit a black-on-black crime, right? So I may as well just continue with my record. Well, the thing is, the Cornell West is, it's so interesting to me that you look at this guy, and yes, with the hair and the dynamics, the body language, the posture whenever you see him talking, you know, he's really bent over, and it's this duality that I want to hide, but I want to be king, you know, so there's this like this duality that's so interesting to me, but I just find it kind of suspect when, well, I can't even say it, never mind.
Go ahead. I was gonna say he sounded a little bit more brand like Brandy, like he won't be down. And if he can't be down, he got a problem. But you could call it something else if you like.
But I'm just wondering if complexion has anything to do with this, you know, because sometimes we get that dynamic, and I'm not calling it that it's everything on everybody, but sometimes you have that dynamic where, you know, it's like the Napoleon syndrome, you know, I need to really prove so much that I'm so powerful because I'm so short and I have some insecurities in there. Mm-hmm. And so the challenge of the president being black enough and, the, you know, if you compare their complexions, it's like, okay, well, what's this all about really? What's it all about really? So
right.
I do think there might be some psychological issue going on there, maybe. I don't know. I'm not saying that that's what it should be, but it just makes me wonder.
And we're not saying that it's not.
Yeah.
So I don't want you to rule that.
I'm going to say
you know,
that it is.
You know, and Kathleen's a medical professional. She should be able to tell us this. Kathleen, what kind of medicine do you have to take to make you see things and say things that you don't have no common sense of? What kind of things can we have there? Or could it be a combination of side effects?
Reverse Ritalin.
Re-Ritalin?
Yeah,
nice.
Re-Ritalin. Yeah.
Okay.
Mixed with a little LSD or something, because he's delusional.
He is definitely mixing his Re-Ritalin. And so, okay, so here are some internet comments that we have, and I'm not going to say the names unless you tell us that we can say them, but one of them says, I certainly hope that in talking about, I'm sorry, here's one that's talking about Cornel West. It says, I love Dr. West, but he's way off base. Yes, Obama's political stance is far more right than many would admit, but blackface comment is just wrong and highly inappropriate, and Tavis Smiley is just bitter, and he's always for sale. See, that must be a Walmart reference because you know they were sponsored by Walmart. Anyway, okay, so another one says exactly why black people will never move forward in society. Too much black-on-black oppression and self-destruction. Another one says Cornel West is like a liberal Alan West at this point. Hey, I never saw that one coming. And someone says it's official. Cornel and Smiley have lost their minds and respect of most thinking black Americans. And those were the internet comments. I'm not ready to disclaim it for them.
Who actually listens to them or who actually follows them? Like five people?
Here's my problem with it, is that major media will give you attention if you go against black people. And I don't think it's anybody following them. I think that they get maximum publicity by hating black people. There's profit in that someplace.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what
and
the
they feel like
is.
They need to stay relevant, I guess. So they just blurt out any old thing just to stay relevant.
You know what? That's still presidential hate while we're partying, and that can't happen.
Yeah.
we haven't gone through our inauguration yet. Like, whatever. You lost. Get over it, and we will. We'll try to help you out with that as we party on the program. So if you know Cornel West or can send them a message, tell them to check out our show. And, oh, by the way, we're not letting you on because I don't let people talk on here who are crazy that we know of. You'll get muted when you're crazy, but if we know you're crazy beforehand, you can't hang. All right, so I just want to let you know you can join in, area code 909-265-9189, 909-265-9189. We're talking about the turncoat, Cornel West on reverse Ritalin versus black people, generally. It's not just the president, but, you know, we also have Melissa Harris Perry's quote about the president, but we'll get to her a little later. In the meantime, Kathleen, you wanted to talk about the Mayor Cory Booker's vow to, I think he wanted to use food stamps for a month. I don't know what that was all about. But,
really?
Kathleen, you want to talk about that? Yeah. I don't know. There was a news story that just kind of jumped out of him saying, hey, you know what, we have some food stamps, and I think he has plans to run for governor. He's polling pretty good with Chris mm-hmm. Christie in New Jersey. And mm-hmm. I think he has aspirations. But I don't know what this whole gimmick about food stamps was all about. So
maybe
I knew
it was
Kathleen
just to see what they were experiencing, what the experience is like.
Okay, do you really need food? Yeah, I was gonna say, do you really need food stamps for that? Like, do you have? Somebody recently did that. Who did that?
Yeah.
Somebody
recently
did that.
Maybe kind of like the undercover boss kind of scenario.
Yeah. It was somebody who did it like briefly, and they said they couldn't take mm-hmm. it. Like
wow.
Isn't that sad? They said,
yeah.
You know what? I'm gonna try food stamps, and I'm gonna live off of my allotment of food stamps. And they said they couldn't do it.
Wow.
See, that's what you get for playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you think that that's glamorous to have food stamps,
right.
Again, you're gonna get played at the end of it.
Yeah.
So,
you know, and that's a means of survival for some people. And, I mean, at least he was honest enough to say he couldn't take it. You know? He bowed out gratefully, you know.
Well, it's better than you know, having food stamps and then eating at your friend's house all week and say, it wasn't that bad. Like, if he did that, that would be wrong.
Right? Yeah, right. I just hated the title. I hated that. Because when I looked at it, okay, anyway, you guys go ahead. I'll jump.
No. We wanted you to jump in. We're just giving you some time. What do you say?
Okay, thank you. The title of it, when I saw that, it made me think that it was real. You know, because with all the crap that's going on with people, I thought that it was real. I'm like, oh, my God, what happened to Mayor Booker? You know, and would I have thought that, you know, if it wasn't Mayor Booker? Maybe not. Probably not. You know, if they tried to say
right.
about Bloomberg, would I have believed mm-hmm. it? Absolutely not. So,
right.
You know, so it just
what
made
did the title say?
Mayor, what is it, Cory Booker living on food stamps.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Huh.
Right? So.
It does sound like he was getting food stamps illegally. Like, doesn't it sound like he was getting food stamps? Like,
exactly.
For his,
right.
He had to.
Hmm.
Yeah, that was wrong.
Yeah.
That was okay, but I'm don't quote the source of your news story, Kathleen, because I'm about to bash him. But it's all in how the editors write that. You know what I mean? Like, they're people try to be sensational and how they kind of do their news stories. And so maybe that's, I don't know.
No,
maybe
that's what I saw. I wrote them a note back in my, on
really?
The post. Yeah, oh, man, I was blasting them. I was like, you know, how irresponsible is this? And, you know, who is responsible for this title? I'll read you what I wrote. Okay, I appreciate the news about this, but this is such a deceptive title that I feel like it is a gross manipulation of trusting readers. I read Caribbean. I read blah blah blah.
You
anyway,
wait a minute. You can say it. I don't care. You can say it. I was just joking about that. You can say whoever it was.
I read because
you know a lot of people posted it.
I read Caribbean Fever anyway. I do not appreciate being duped into an article by a title like this. This saddens me. Who is responsible for this? Please rethink and consider withdrawing the heading. He is not living on food stamps. He's living on a food stamp budget. This would be illegal, and it's a slap in the face of the mayor and black politicians. It draws the eye in a negative light instead of drawing any attention to the good he's doing in this instance. And the title is not true. I will talk about this today on Black on Black Crime.
You saw this coming.
A radio program.
Tune in.
That addresses how we shoot each other down, not literally, but in everyday life with the power of our tongue and pen. Listen at 2 p.m.
So there you go.
We have to be able to do better than this as a community. Kathleen Williams, ESQ.
Hey, now, okay. So let me be the first to vote on that. That is a black on black crime. I'm going to just kind of give in on this one, Kai.
And you know what? That's all someone like, not that they would read the, or maybe they might, but that's all someone like a Mitt Romney or a Paul Ryan would need to see to sensationalize that. See, we told you, you know,
I mean, yeah, you're right, Kathleen.
Right.
That could have been worded a lot better. Or any, not just them, any Republican who keeps saying we're living under a food stamp president, that would be the ammunition they need just to take their to take their race even further. So you're right. That's very misleading.
Very misleading.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I'm saying if it was – sorry, go ahead, Tom.
No, go ahead.
No, if it was a white politician, would they have been as quick to write a title like that for,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it is for black readers, right? So you
right.
think,
mm-hmm.
oh my God, another black politician in trouble, or oh my God, what happened
mm-hmm.
to Mayor Booker? Especially a lot of people look at Mayor Booker as the upcoming of, you know, politicians. He's the next one. So many people have talked about him possibly running for president. It's like they're looking for something to maul his reputation and all the good that he does to say,
right.
you know, Mayor Booker living on food stamps. I'm like, it's so unnecessary because so many people read that
mm-hmm.
platform anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do that in order to get people to read it. You know, and they did it intentionally for people to go into that article with that thought.
Right, right. Yeah, that was very irresponsible.
And that is just, you're right. Like I said, that's a black-on-black crime. This is nothing but, hey, you don't have to go through all of that and just to get people to read your stuff as to say something
mm-hmm.
happened to somebody black. You can do what we do, the kind of opposite. You can play a game of is it black or white? We can do that the opposite way. So you don't have to do all of that. So, you know, somebody's committed a black-on-black crime, and now it's now a newspaper, Caribbean Fever. No, well, you know what? And the Grill has done it. They've committed black-on-black crime, and those other guys who we blasted on the program, so I'm not going to say nothing. I'm going to be a little quiet about it. You know, I heard Kathleen seemed like she's holding her tongue, so I guess that must mean that it's a good time for a break because Kathleen's being quiet. She's trying not to mess up her subscription. Kathleen, they still make you pay to read the articles.
I paid for that. I was over here talking on mute. That's what happened. But I won the book club on Caribbean Fever, so you know I can't dog it too bad. And that's my boy, Dobbins. Rocking you needy, so I got to be cool. I love you, Dobbins, but that article was like the bomb. That was like the fucking.
Yeah,
that article sucks. Just say what it is. All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more Black on Black Crime.
You're white. Start out with a bright future. Then, over time, they become dull and begin to lose their luster. Because washing in the bargain brand can leave dirt from the wash on your clothes, causing your white to get dingy. New improved Tide Plus Bleach helps to remove the dirt in one wash to bring your white back to bright. Turning whitish to wow. Tide Plus Bleach. Style is an option. Clean is not.
Seems like you guys got a little gassed
out. Enough already. Come on, guys. Next question here.
What's your favorite color?
What's my favorite color?
Yes.
Purple.
What's your favorite animal?
Sea turtle.
What's your bedtime? Do you believe in space aliens?
I love puppies.
Hash browns or home fries?
Home fries.
Do you like my dress?
Why can't you guys ask good questions like that?
For a chance to interview an NFL player, join Visa NFL Fan Office and make your season epic.
Red Lobster's hitting the streets to tell real people about our new 15 under 15 menu.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh. This looks amazing.
That's a good deal. Wow.
It's so good.
Our new mainstays. 15 entrees under $15. Seafood, chicken, and more.
Oh, the tilapia with roasted vegetables.
I'm actually looking at the wood grill chicken with portobello one sauce.
You're so fascinated by the prices.
I know.
You keep rambling on.
That pork chop was great.
No more fast food Fridays. We gotta go.
Okay.
We're gonna go to Red Lobster.
Yeah. Try our 15 under 15 menu and see food differently.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome, here with Kai and Kathleen. Remember, our call-in number is area code 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. Just in case you didn't hear me, 909-265-9189. All right, Teddy. Okay, I had to let Teddy get his break back in there. What up, Kai?
What's that?
Kai is laughing at me today. All right.
Oh, you said, what up, Teddy? What if he would have responded?
You know. Yeah, you said Teddy. That would have worked out, wouldn't it? All right. Now we have Melissa Harris-Perry from MSNBC, who has her show. We had that crazy, the guy on Re-Riddlin' talking about her earlier. But she made a comment about the president. And I don't know if this is a black-on-black crime, because she didn't seem like she's doing it harmful. So Melissa Harris-Perry criticized the president this week on MSNBC on her show by discussing his pardon of the turkeys for Thanksgiving. So what she said in an open letter segment, she said that the president pardoned a turkey, but he has been reluctant to use his pardoning power for humans. Since the president has taken office, he has pardoned 22 individuals and denied 1,019. Now, President Obama described as, and this is a very black word, stingy and unusually reluctant on pardons. Now, she compared his track record to past presidents, highlighting that President Obama has approved only 2% of all requests by the Department of Justice. And she said, maybe you can scratch out a letter on the White House lawn asking the president for mercy of humans. She's talking to the turkey, mind you, in his second term to pardon them as fast as he pardoned poultry. Now, I know she did that to just be humorous and to try to get attention to the pardon system. So Melissa Harris-Perry criticized the president on pardons. What do you guys think about that?
She's a vegetarian.
I knew you were gonna do that, Kathleen.
My bad. I mean, you know, here's what I think. I'm thinking just what you said, that you know, if I walk out and ask like 50 people, do they watch Melissa Harris-Perry? They're gonna be like, who? You know?
Well,
do you watch Melissa Harris-Perry?
Not...
Who? Oh, you know, she's
right.
Political. Who? And you know, and it's going to go like that. So now that she is a black woman criticizing the president, she's going to get 10 times more people talking about her like we are right now. Now, I happen to watch Melissa Harris-Perry.
And so do I.
Know, right. And but, you know, few and far between for the number of people that actually watch her. But this will draw the attention of both sides. Right? Because whenever a black person stands up to criticize the president, except for Cornel West and Tana Smiley, who we, for some interesting reason, really pay no attention to them whatsoever, they get, you know, eyebrows start to raise. It's like, oh, another one. How interesting. So for me, I think it's a black-on-black crime.
You think it is?
I do.
Whoa. Okay.
Because I don't recall anybody criticizing any other president that often for the number of pardons that they don't do. It may be a specific pardon or somebody who they really feel should be pardoned, and usually it's like some minority or something like that. They're like, this person really should be pardoned, and they won't even consider them. But for to look at the whole pardon history of all the presidents of the United States and criticize the 44th one by a black person, I'm like, really? Okay, I don't know.
Right. Right. Now I remember Clinton's, his pardons, he got a lot of, some guy who was a donor had a friend of his pardoned. It was like a white-collar crime of nothing. Mm-hmm. He just needed to expunge off his record. I mean, I remember the controversy for pardons, but as far as I, well, my impression of it is that she kind of was looking at it to bring attention to the pardons and trying to be a little comical with the Thanksgiving turkey pardon thing. But it is true. It's why we do black-on-black crime. When you overtly focus and criticize on black people, you could be committing a black-on-black crime. So that if you're comparing him to other presidents, saying that he should pardon them or that he should pardon more black people, there's a big distinction in that. So
right.
I am going to I'm going to plead the fifth until Kai goes. I'm going to let Kai go first because
well,
I don't know what I think about it.
Because I would be one of those few people that Kathleen is talking about. I'm not sure who she is. But, but, you know, I agree to an extent. It sounds like a black-on-black crime. Because that's my question. Is she, first of all, you have to take the turkey, you know, you have to take a turkey platform to be the voice of people who need pardoning. And is she speaking about people of color who hadn't been pardoned or just people, period? So I guess that's the thought that came to my mind, like, why did she use this platform? And if it was done in a comical way, it makes a little more sense, but still my question is she speaking for all the people who need to be pardoned or just people of color?
Now,
and I guess
I
need to know who she is, too, now.
Don't worry about who she is. But here's the thing. Now, cause I like her. You know, she's a professor at Tulane University, I think. And she's had a show for the past year. It's on the weekend, so nobody really sees it because it's really early. What time? Saturday and Sunday. I think she's on 8 o'clock maybe, 8 or 9 o'clock on for an hour or two.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't have the highly coveted, you know, 12 noon slot on Saturday. But, you know, that early in the morning, people, you're either busy or you're tired from the week.
Right.
So, you know,
right.
Nobody really gets that. But I understand where she's going with this. But here's some internet comments about Melissa Harris Perry.
And she's a clone, a Rachel Maddow clone, but I'll talk about that later.
All right. So, well, we're going to this after the comments. Let's get our nice comments out of the way first before Kathleen gets the trasher. All right. the first comment says, I certainly hope so, meaning that they hope that he does more pardon. Aside from the human cost to prisoners and their families, we really can't afford to be paying these outrageous maintenance fees for innocent people in prison. There's just so many these days on there's just so many innocent people these days on charges that they don't deserve the punishment that they've been handed, and that we all whine about the expense of holding prisoners. So the president needs to get on this. And the other one said turkey pardon is a custom, Melissa. Don't get too foxy. I think that's a reference to Fox News. That's actually funny.
Oh. All
right. I love that.
She's getting foxy. All right. So and another one said, Melissa is a very passionate, highly intelligent woman who strongly advocates for education and equal rights for all Americans. That being said, she has no problem getting her message across if she believes that it will help bring something that needs attention into the light and into the national conversation. So those were the comments on Melissa Harris Perry, and they all seem to be pretty nice, except for that Melissa Harris Perry is foxy. I don't like that. That's too close to Pam Grier. I don't think people would get it.
Too close to Foxy.
They may think I like her. No, but I understand where they were going.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's open up the floor for Kathleen. Okay.
Well,
she's about to commit a black on. She's about to commit a black on black crime, so my finger's on the button. Hold on. All right, I'm ready, Kathleen. Go.
Well, when I watched her for the first few times, Kai, I was saying, am I watching Rachel Maddow? Because her, if you look at her tones, the sarcasm, the inflections of the voice, the same kind of thing that Rachel Maddow does, which is it works for Rachel Maddow. But if
right.
you ever watch,
right.
there's this guy that sometimes fills in for Rachel Maddow, and I cannot remember his name. I used to see him more often last year and the year before, filling in for her on occasion. And he would do the same thing as well. So it lets you know that the producers are writing a lot of that for whoever fills in for her, mm-hmm. or whoever's trying to pull off a show like Maddow. And mm-hmm. when I watch Melissa and Harris Perry, it's almost identical. So I'm like, that's interesting. But after you watch it for a while, you can see a little bit of her character coming through. Mm-hmm. And also she is a black woman, so you get a lot of that flavor of a black woman coming through too. Mm-hmm. So I do like her, but she does give me a little bit too much Rachel Maddow. Not like I don't like Rachel, but it's like, mm-hmm. why do I need to see that on every single body person on MSNBC? Is that the only way they can do commentators? I don't know. So that's my.
And that was uninterrupted too. I should have gave you your moment of your zen moment of how this is Kathleen's thought. We're gonna have to run a bed under that. Although, I just want to say hey to everyone on the line. You can hit what if you want to join the program. And I got a text from Amy in Atlanta. Hey, girl, telling me to turn the music down because she can't hear me talking over the bed that we were. I got criticism on my text. Can you believe that? All right. Anyway, here's the thing. Rachel came in from Keith Olbermann. So I thought she was trying to be a little bit like Keith, which she couldn't be. But Rachel's sarcasm is not funny. And that's just kind of how Rachel is. And so Melissa kind of was brought in by Rachel, and she's like, this is how I do a show. And so she probably does her show like Rachel. So I can't get mad at her for not having, you know, not being funny or having quick wit. But there's a bunch of nerds on MSNBC, so I can't really – I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean that they just haven't been outside a lot. That's all I'm just saying. That's not a black-on-black crime. That was my defense of her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, black-on-black.
Yeah.
You said it sounds like it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Melissa Harris-Perry, you could write me at comments@soulofsyracuse.com if you have any comments, or anybody can. BOBC, black-on-black crime, BOBC@soulofsyracuse.com if you have any comments about the program. I just want to welcome you and thank everyone for joining in on the program. We are trying not to hate on Melissa Harris-Perry, but she did commit a black-on-black crime. Although, it could have gone either way for me, because we should be talking about pardons. It is his second term, and it's the holidays, so this is the lame duck session when they normally do pardons. So the pardons will probably come in December.
No pun intended on the duck part.
Lame duck.
It relates to the turkey.
Oh, and I don't know if you heard me earlier, Kathleen, but I have a rule, no Christmas shopping until the turkey's gone. If there's turkey in your refrigerator, you cannot Christmas shop.
Yes, I remember I didn't have a refrigerator, so I'm exempt.
But, okay, fine. Kathleen, if you have a taste for turkey, you can't shop.
Oh, there I go. I'm trying to get a turkey right now.
See, I'll be waiting until December
24th. Yep.
Exactly. We'll wait until Christmas Eve.
I can't do the whole Black Friday, Blue Monday. I get them all mixed up. It's just too many people and too much chaos.
Oh, you know what? And we should talk about that. You know, a little bit later, we'll talk about the chaos of Christmas shopping and that whole thing in a second. But right now, I'm going to take a break. We're going to take our break for the haters of the president. So since this was a president thing, I know since we didn't do a show last week, Kathleen laughed at me when I was going to play this song in honor of Mitt Romney, because I know Mitt Romney has had a hard time lately.
Yeah.
And so since you lost, I'm going to play this in your honor. And for all those people who hate the president or want to hate on the president, I just have a little something that I want to share from you. And we're going to leave Kathleen's mic open because Kathleen's going to laugh, and we're going to let everybody party to this. So here is our break. Kathleen, are you okay?
I'm okay.
Okay. I'm just checking on you because I know where this is going.
Okay.
You know, All right. Because last time we played Grooveline and Kathleen had a moment. So here we go. All right, this is for Mitt Romney. This is in honor of you. I just thought I'd share. This is the LGBT guy.
Love this line.
All right, we're going to let this go for a minute. We'll be right back in a minute. Back in the day, so if they want to go pick that up, I don't know what album it is on, but it's LTD. So, you know what happens right after election. I didn't get a chance to do this story, but what happened is when Mitt Romney lost, right on the convention floor that night, mm-hmm. their campaign cut off the credit cards of their campaign staff workers, so they couldn't get rides home. Like when they tried to use the credit cards to charge their rides home from the place that on
Are
election
you kidding
night,
me?
It didn't work anymore.
Oh my goodness!
Isn't that horrible?
Wow!
The love was gone for real. Like they were like before.
Is that a true story?
Yes.
Oh my God!
Yes. Isn't that horrible? They had to
so
pay for their own way
home. Oh,
huh?
Wow. So what did they have to carpool back to the...
Hey, some of them didn't find out because they charge them as they get from where they're going. And when they tried to use them, they said they apologized for it, but I don't think they paid them back. They like, thank you. That's not working. Isn't that mean? All right, I'm
oh,
sorry.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Wow.
That was just too funny to me.
Yeah.
I try not to pick on them, but I'm telling them the love was gone from them. And also, you know, the Secret Service, while it was going, I think the next day, the Secret Service literally handed over his protection to the local police. Like, during that night, they're like, all right, we out. I forgot what
Are
the call
kidding?
Was.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, you know what? That's probably why he canceled everybody's credit card, because he thought he had a ride home.
Gosh, it just gets so ugly behind the scenes. Jeez.
Isn't that bad?
Oh, brother.
I know. I know. Kathleen, now, is that – well, that wouldn't be a black-on-black crime, but Kathleen, was that bad?
That was cold-blooded, cold, funky cold Medina, cold-blooded.
Okay, wait. Okay, So let me tell you how the Secret Service did it. Like, it was unceremonially jump is what they called it. So, you know, he has this detail that they called Javelin, right? I don't know why they call him Javelin or whatever. But they said that the Secret Service guarding him, they did it on – I'm trying to think of how they did it. But anyway, there was a message that went out that said – Javelin jockey details, all posts discontinued. They did that on that night. They just left.
Wow.
He was like, Roger, this fool lost. We don't have to protect him no more. So they turned over police to they consulted. They said it's up to their discretion to the detail leader for the Secret Service. And so he usually consults, you know, the local police to make sure that he can get home and stuff. And but there was no motorcade, no rope lines, no more bubbles. Like, that's what they said. Like, they weren't doing anything. The familiar faces disappeared and everybody was gone. Can you imagine? You're traveling with them since, I think, February 1st.
Yeah.
Is when he had his detail. And so they're traveling with him. It's like, hey, you want a Pepsi? You want something to drink? And they, we're done. Like, they were not your friend.
Wow. Such an ugly business. Jeez.
Okay. No, it's not that ugly. Holding on when the love is gone is our theme for the rest of the show.
What does he say? Still, the bottom line is, it's time for you to leave.
Exactly.
Wow.
And at some point in the song, it says it'll drive you out your mind. So I just wanted to tell you, don't lose your mind, Romney people. Just kind of what it is.
That's sad. Wow.
See, that's why I love Kai. She still feels a little compassionate as she's laughing. So Kathleen does it, because Kathleen is, she was partying too much to the song.
Is that why you had to put me on mute? I was singing all loud.
I sure
laughing.
Did. She was yelling party in the background. We know
I
where
was.
Kathleen was going.
Hey.
All right, I want to remind everybody, you are listening to Black on Black Crime on Ask Kathleen Network and on Esprit Radio. You can call in, area code 909-265-9189. We're just having a little fun. Today's topics were the 20th anniversary of Malcolm X, the movie, which directed by Spike Lee and starring some other guy, Denzel. What was it? It's a state name. Oregon, New Hampshire. That guy. Okay, and so, and we talked about Melissa Harris Perry and her remarks about the president's pardons and that turncoat re-riddling guy. Cornel West, thanks for that, Kathleen. I like that. Or Kai for the re-riddling. Thank you, Kai. I needed that. Re-riddling guy, Cornel West versus black people. Those were our topics today. If you want to call in and comment, you still have a little time left before we end the show. So I just wanted to bring that up. And I want to say, check out what I just forgot the name of this show. Check out Kathleen on Sundays, every Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern on ACN for, tell me, Kathleen.
Professional
Kathleen
style.
Professional style. She had me on mute.
No, and Kai, we got to have you. Listen, the conversation we had last night, oh, my gosh, we needed you jumping in.
Oh, really? Oh,
Rome went bananas on the women.
Hey,
wow.
Hey. It wasn't that intentionally. I didn't intentionally leave Kai out, but I left Kai out. But still.
He went bananas on the women. We started talking about relationships, and he let women have it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Okay, you know what?
It's your fault. I don't need no man syndrome. It's the man on woman crime.
All right. On Black on Black Crime, we definitely don't hate on Jerome on Black on Black Crime, so just want to let you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I hate I missed that. Oh, God.
Well, check out Professional Styles on Sunday, Professional Style on Sunday, where we're going to talk about some quantum stuff and quantum living and some,
yeah,
you know, some of the book that I'm writing. And, you know, I know Amy's out there. Amy, you have to check it out, Professional Style on Sunday. Kai, you have to come in. And we'll try to keep Kathleen off of doing the bashing of men that day. No, you know what? I'm going to have to.
I did not bash men. Ronnie did.
It's easy sometimes.
Well, on her show, she did ask the question, what was the question? Why are – we'll let you say this on Black on Black Crime. I just want to remind you, you're listening to Black on Black Crime, and Black on Black Crime, let me just do the definition right quick before we start bashing, is when Black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other Black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. On that note, what was that topic, Kathleen, that you had from last night?
It was, why is it that there are so many competent, attractive, eligible, single women who want to be married and can't find mates? Is it really, is it God's plan that all these women are single?
Okay, and can you believe a pastor asked that question? Is that God's plan? Okay,
well,
let me
fix that. What she said was, this could not be God's plan. So my question was, what is it? That's what she said. She said, this could not be God's plan. And she asked me if I had a theory, because she was, you know, looking into it, praying about it and so forth. And I said, I don't have a theory. I don't think it could be either, but I'll have a theory. But Jerome and Ronnie did have theories.
Yeah, I got a theory, too. But it might take a while.
Okay, before you go into your theory, Kai, I just want to say this. God's plan is a black-on-black crime. You don't question God. What's wrong with y'all? That's all I want to say. I can't believe somebody even asked that question. That is a black-on-black crime if I ever heard one. So I am going to flag your pastor, whoever she was.
That was me. That was me. I said it. It could, you know.
Oh, you said is a God's plan.
She said it could not be God. This could not be God's plan.
No.
So, you
okay,
know, so I'm
going to
put it
that.
On her. I'm going to put it on her because she brought up God's plan.
Right. Because she brought up something negative against God, and that's why it's a black-on-black crime. She said this couldn't be God's plan. What God got to do with that? So, you know what? That's a black-on-black crime. So don't try to cover for your pastor. She can't hide in here. So I just wanted to share that. Okay, Kai, I'm going to let you go with your theory. I know we're going off the show, but we got a few minutes.
Okay.
What is this?
This is my theory. No, it's not God's plan. It's man's plan, and man's plan is to take the easy route. Not all men, but the majority of man's plan is to do what's convenient and what's most convenient and the least painful as possible, and that would mean relationships, commitments, anything that challenges them, they're going to run in the other direction. And that's not a black man or a white man. That's a man population in general.
I know you're not trying to mask that. You're not getting away with that. You know that, right?
I'm just saying, but that's not God's plan. It's man that doesn't want to take the responsibility of what comes with being in a relationship, a committed relationship.
Okay, I'm sorry. Let me back this up a little bit and rephrase the question because you changed this to another question. The question was why women can't find. Why did it have to be a guy's problem? She said why women can't find it.
You know why? But for that very reason, women can't find a man because they take off running at the very thought that they have to be responsible in a relationship.
Let me go to Kathleen. Kathleen, did you hear what Kai heard when I said that? She heard why was it man's problem that women, they're not suitable.
Why was it man's problem?
But
that's what everybody means, okay? So let's just strip this right on down. That's what they really mean, because obviously it is not the women's desire to be single, right?
Right.
So
exactly.
If it's not a woman's desire to be single and they want to have kids and they want to get married and they're looking for men, why is it that they're still single? So the real issue is, well, what's wrong with the men? It's got to be the men, because the women are here. They got money, they got brains, they got looks, they got salvation, they got everything. That's what the pastor said. He's living everything.
I'm not going to agree with this, but what I'm going to say when y'all say what's wrong with men, I'm going to bring up Cornel West again. I'm just joking.
Oh, God.
I tried to deflect it, but my bad. It's just,
and
you're looking at black on black pride.
That was funny. That was funny.
So, because since he made the top of the black-on-black crime most wanted or not wanted black man list.
But Kathleen, notice how he diverted that conversation to the same thing.
Yeah, he did.
Here's the man
that's responsible for all of y'all being single.
Thank you. Tip
like
your waitress. You're a waitress. You know, first of all, it is women's fault. So I just want to really just kind of make sure we put that out there because, you know, this is black on black crime, but we still hold it down on the masculine side. It is women's fault because, again, who – was it Kai? Do I have to mute Kai? I've never muted Kai in this real program. Kai is about to get muted.
See, you didn't talk about men in relationships before.
All right, fine.
That's when the other Kai comes out.
Okay, well, we got to change the program for her. So, let's go back to the question. The question is, why can't women find suitable relationships? And I say it's because when you, and we talked about this in a spiritual sense, is when you put parameters on the type of person that you want to meet. And so when you say he needs to be about this tall with a nice haircut, and then he needs to like shrimp on Tuesdays, and I want him to not want to wear sneakers no more. I just want strictly shoes or boat shoes. Like when you get really that detailed on any individual, it is going to fail. Just want to share
true.
That. So
I'll give you that.
So you, right. So guys, and Kathleen said this yesterday. She said, you know, guys do the same thing. And what did you say when you said that, Kai? I mean, Kathleen.
I also said that I really don't know any women that go that deep. Okay, well, the other thing that I said was that there's been a whole lot of conversation directed towards women to tell them that they are too picky, you know, in magazines and so forth. Is that the one you mean, Jerome?
No. I meant that you said that guys are picky and they say things like, I want a girl with a big butt. That's the picky part that you said the guys do.
Did I say
like
that?
You're saying it's superficial picky.
I was having a moment.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to bring back the tape. But you did say that they pick out differently. And I said guys aren't picky. That's why they will pick a girl who works retail opposed to saying that she needs to be A, B, and C, and D. That's a woman's thing. You college educated folks. But anywho, I just wanted to share that.
But why is it okay for the guy to want the Barbie doll, the arm piece for her to look a certain way?
That's right.
Why is it okay for them when they have, I guess what they call standards, but when women have a certain amount of standards, then we're looked at as being picky?
Kai, you're not going to go there, are you?
Let me
tell you that. Okay, fine. No. I'm going to help you with this, and we're going to have to talk about this on Professional Style or on Kai's conversation show because they're going to go in a different place. But since this is black on black crime, you can't even commit a black male crime on here either. So here's how this goes. Guys don't have standards. It's why strip clubs exist. See, work with me on this, people. I think what women think guys have is what other women think guys have. Thank you very much.
We're giving
Thank you
too
very
much credit.
Okay, you know what? I wouldn't say you're giving us too much credit. I'm saying you're giving us none. So see, how does that work? How does that work? We get no credit at all.
Well, that's a whole nother show.
See, Kathleen, she doesn't even want to share on that note.
Well,
it's
going to take a while.
It's just so deep, Tom. It's just so deep that it's like...
Okay, hey, it's always been a good show whenever you can have a man-woman conversation and somebody didn't bring up Chris Brown, so I'm thankful for that.
And how did you know I was sitting here looking at that? I was looking at it. Okay, he's got spyware. Or is that the black on black crime?
That is a black on black crime. So I just want to... thank everyone for joining in. See us again next week at 2 p.m. Eastern on ACN on Esri Radio with Kai and Kathleen. Say bye, guys.
Bye.
Party over here.
No, holding on till the love is gone. just thought I'd share that. All right. See you again next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye. Feel better, Kai.